Hey there, podcast pals. John Moe here. I want to make sure you know about our upcoming fall season. So if you're in Minnesota or if you're traveling through, you can stop in and see a show or plan a special trip just for one of the shows. They are that special. This Sunday, September 28th, is our first ever show at the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis with Emmy-nominated actor and good friend of the show, Colin Hanks. We'll get a special solo acoustic set from musical guest Father John Misty, and our good friend Harmar Superstar will be on hand as well. That's Sunday, September 28th. Friday, October 3rd, we'll be at the College of St. Benedict in St. Joseph, Minnesota, for a show with our friend and comedian Maria Bamford, along with musical guest Jeremy Messersmith. I would mention our great Wits Thrilling Adventure Hour crossover show at the Fitzgerald Theater on Friday, October 24th, with Paul F. Tompkins, Padgett Brewster, special comedy guest Weird Al Yankovic, and musical guest Rhett Miller, but this show has sold out, so I'm not going to say anything about that show. We have a few other shows at the Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul this fall. Saturday, November 8th, it's the acclaimed author Neil Gaiman making his triumphant return to Wits with musical guest My Brightest Diamond. She's got a new album out. It is amazing. I tried to do it all right. I went down, down, down. Friday, November 4th, we welcome the comedian Hari Kondabolu and musical guest OK Go. Yep, those guys from all those complicated videos. They'll be live on our stage. And our last show this fall on Friday, November 21st, features Peabody Award-winning, Emmy-nominated, incredibly funny, brilliant Keegan-Michael Key, half of the comedy duo Key and Peele. The music guest for that show is singer-songwriter Bea Beeman, who, if you haven't heard, you need to as soon as you can. I jumped the first train I saw. It'll surely take. It's a killer season. Tickets are on sale now. Find all the information you need at witsradio.org. Now, enjoy the show. I'm John Moe. This week on Wits, comedian Jim Gaffigan. There's plenty of food that Jim loves and some that makes no sense to him at all.
How did we even start eating clams and oysters? It was like some guy was like, hey, I found a rock with a snot in it. What's it taste like? Pneumonia.
And musician and comic Reggie Watts consoles a beaver who is no good at building dams.
Maybe you're just better as a thing that's furry with big buck teeth. Maybe you're just someone who chops down the trees and other people just build the dam. They can design it.
All this plus a stegosaurus wants to sell you some bubblegum and singer-songwriter Tao Nguyen.
Holy roller, roll over me. I'm looking for something else to see. Last so long, hurt so bad.
It's all on Wits, coming right up. From APM, American Public Media, this is Wits. I'm John Moe, coming to you from the Aladdin Theater in Portland, Oregon. True fact about Portland, this city was almost called Boston, Oregon. It had two founders. Francis Pettigrove was from Portland, Maine. Asa Lovejoy was from Boston, Massachusetts. And Francis and Asa flipped a coin. Pettigrove won, and the city was Portland. It could have easily been Boston, Oregon, and the Boston Trailblazers could have played the Boston Celtics, and it would have been very confusing. Especially for Bill Walton. But the penny was flipped, and the penny is on display at the Oregon Historical Society Museum. You can go down and look at the penny. Personally, I think neither name is as good as Pettigrove, Oregon, which I think would have been awesome, or even better, Lovejoy, Oregon. I think there's a real missed opportunity. Also, a lot of people don't know this. Eugene, Oregon was almost named Myron, Oregon because it was founded by two stereotypical nerds of the 1950s. Now, notice I say Oregon, not Oregon, because I am a native of the Northwest. It feels good to be back where we see thick overcast rain clouds as just big gaseous blankets that we can snuggle under. Things are what you make of them, ultimately, and I try to remember that. For example, a gelato parlor can be either an enchanted animal wonderland or a festering den of disease. I'll explain. Last summer, my family was fortunate enough to go on vacation to Mexico. We went to this little island off the coast of Cancun. We were there for 12 days. It was wonderful. We swam. We hung out on the beach. We saw Mayan ruins. It was fantastic. But the highlight of the trip for my kids, my three kids, the absolute pinnacle, was Kittyland. That's kitty spelled K-I-T-T-Y, as in cat. See, one day we went to this gelato place in the middle of the only town on the island, and we got our little cups of gelato, and we went to the back patio to sit down and enjoy our little treats. And the first thing I noticed is that it was swarming with cats. Just everywhere, just cats roaming around. And then I started noticing, oh, there's food dishes, there's water dishes, scratching posts, little cat beds, little boxy cat like dormitory condominium things that they had set up. And then I noticed this sign that said Kittyland. So Kittyland is like this feral cat sanctuary being run out of the back of the gelato place. But, and this is crucial, it was an extremely bad sanctuary because all the cats were horribly diseased. Visible tumors, mange. These were literally mangy cats. It was a roadside cat hospice, basically. And a gross place to eat gelato. We were told by the people working there, don't touch the cats. They're very sick. As the cats roamed in and out of the restaurant near the open containers of gelato and serving utensils. My kids are 13, 11, and 6 years old, and this was the greatest place they have ever been in their lives. Oh, Dad, that one looks like Garfield. Oh, look, there's a baby one. Oh, Mom, I think this little one over here likes me. My 6-year-old named one of the cats Patch because she said it had a patch over its eye, which was actually a fleshy bacterial growth. So, Patch. And here's my wife and I the entire time we're there. Don't get near it. Don't feed. No, you can't. Don't kiss. No, you can't. Ah, no. As we eat gelato and worry. And I asked my 13-year-old son, what is the appeal here? I figured, like, okay, you're a 13-year-old boy. Maybe the grossness is part of it, right? And he said, no, Dad, it's much simpler than that. Cats are great. We love cats because cats are great. Here's a lot of cats. This place is great. That's it? I said. He said, well, it's also pretty fun to watch you and Mom freak out real hard. My daughter still draws pictures of Kittyland. She still draws pictures of Patch. And the kids ask when we can go back. And I thought about it, and I said, never. We can never go back. We got a great show. Music director John Munson is here. The brilliant musician and entertainer Reggie Watts is here. And musician and one of my favorite rock and roll stars, Ms. Tao Nguyen, is here with us as well. He's one of the top comedians in the country, an accomplished actor. He's also a best-selling author, most recently of the book Dad is Fat. His new book is Food, A Love Story. Jim Gaffigan, welcome back to Wits.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. That is so... That makes me feel less fat, everyone. It's good to be here.
So your new book, Food, A Love Story, you kind of break down your thoughts on a lot of different food. You cover a lot of food ground in this thing.
Yes, it's, I had a friend describe that my attitude towards food is the same as someone that is profoundly morbidly obese. Because I just think a lot about food, and I love food. And so this book is like 300 pages of just me obsessing on different aspects and different types of food.
And I was, I know, hooray for food!
Yes.
I found it interesting that it wasn't just about how you love every food, because there are some foods that you're not down with in this book.
No, there's some food that
the
is
the coastal
just,
shell. Yes.
Well,
variety.
There's different geographic areas of the United States. Some people see red states or blue states or north or south or east or west. I just see food. So I, you know, there's major areas. There's eating barbecue land, which is kind of the southeast. There's Mexican food land, which is all the land that we stole from Mexico in the Spanish-American War. And then there's, then there's steak land. And then the Northeast Corridor, I call it sea bug land.
And sea bugs.
It's a lot of shellfish and just bugs from the ocean that people eat.
Like lobster.
Like lobster, which is, you know, those are bugs, you know, and clams. I mean, I understand that in the 1700s people had to eat things, but how did we even start eating clams and oysters? It was like some guy was like, hey, I found a rock with a snot in it. Maybe we should eat it. And his friend was like, all right, go ahead. And he's like, what's it taste like? Pneumonia. You know? And that's how I feel about a lot of shellfish.
Well, shellfish takes so long to get to. It's a task. It's an ordeal.
Yeah,
to get
crab
to.
Is, you know, it's like crab is like the pistachio of seafood. There's just too much work, and there's different disgusting areas of the crab. There's that one part of the crab you're not supposed to eat. I think it's called all of it.
So are you, I mean, this term has come up in the last few years, foodie. Are you a foodie?
Yeah, I don't consider myself a foodie. I don't have anything against foodies, but I don't feel like I have the time or the energy. I do stand up, and I have 1,000 children. So, you know, like, I'm such, like, when I go out to dinner, I have to get, like, a steak. I'm sure there's people here that like fish. I wish I was the guy in the restaurant that looked at the menu and be like, you know, I don't get to go out to dinner that often, but instead of getting a delicious steak, I'll get the fish, because I like disgusting food. Because fish is disgusting. It is. Fish is, you know, fish don't even like fish. That's why they're frowning. Look at a fish. He's frowning because he's like, oh, what's that smell? It's me. I'm a fish. Fish is disgusting, and everyone kind of knows it. What's the best compliment you can give fish is to say that it's not fishy. Isn't fish supposed to be fishy? You never hear, get the hamburger, it's not burgery. Fishy is an indication something's wrong. Something fishy going on here? No, everything's burgery. Fishy.
Jim Gaffigan, everybody.
Thank you.
And now, reading from his new book, Food, A Love Story, here is Jim Gaffigan.
Yes, reading from...
Welcome to public radio.
Yes, this is, well, NPR. This is the mistake they've made. Wait, he doesn't even look like he knows how to read.
This is about cheese. Drinking milk is rather disgusting thing when you think about it. We are, in simple terms, drinking the breast milk of a cow. Growing up, we always heard, drink your milk. I wonder how we would have responded if our mothers had said, don't forget to drink that liquid that comes from one of the cow's 6 nipples. While I find milk generally unappealing, what we make from the cow's breast milk is truly amazing. Cheese, ice cream, whipped cream, butter. Cow's breast milk is rather resourceful. Cheese is probably the all-purpose dairy product. Everyone loves cheese. Supposedly, the average American eats 23 pounds of cheese a year. That seems kind of low to me. Generally, I like all types of cheese, even the really stinky cheese that makes you almost gag before every delicious bite. On more than one occasion, I've thought to myself, this smell makes me want to hurl, but I can't stop eating it. Cheddar. When I'm lying in bed thinking about cheese, which is usually every night, I'm typically thinking about cheddar cheese. It is the utility cheese. It works great everywhere. Great on a hamburger, great on a sandwich, even great with a piece of apple pie. Wow, you go, cheddar. When I say cheddar, I'm talking about sharp cheddar. I usually look for extra sharp cheddar, whatever that means. I just know that the sharper the cheddar, the better. I don't understand why mild cheddar even exists. It's like the non-alcoholic beer of cheddar. What's the point? Swiss. I've always viewed Swiss cheese as the grapefruit juice of cheese. Nobody really wants Swiss cheese, but it's nice to provide a choice for the occasional weirdo that wants something gross tasting. I keep waiting for people to realize that Swiss cheese tastes like a pencil eraser. Swiss cheese is like an old dirty sock. It smells, it has holes in it, and if it's hanging on a doorknob, it means don't enter. Goat cheese. I'm a reluctant goat cheese consumer. I understand it's a healthier cheese, which immediately makes me distrustful. But I can't get beyond the fact it comes from a goat. A goat? Goats always seem like characters from one of those Lord of the Rings movies. Hey, you know that disgusting animal you'd never eat? Check out what we did with some of its breast milk. American cheese. I don't want to create a Dixie Chick-style controversy here, but I hate American cheese. Hate it. I love my country, and not just because it's God's favorite, but I don't understand American cheese. Maybe the idea was, let's make a cheese that resembles real cheese but has no taste. You know, for people that like to melt things and hate themselves. Like a responsible citizen, I confronted this issue head-on by writing a letter to Kraft. Dear Kraft, I hope you are well. I wanted to write you regarding American cheese. I'd like you to stop making it, please. It's disgusting and completely unsatisfying. Let me be clear up front. I am a huge fan of cheese. I love cheese. I realize an out-of-shape Midwestern guy like myself enjoying cheese this much might be rare, but I don't care. I love cheese. When I'm getting my picture taken and someone says, say cheese, I smile because the word cheese actually makes me happy. I love all kinds of cheese, too, except for American cheese. American cheese is the worst of all cheese. Well, to be honest, I've never tried head cheese. That sounds like it would be pretty bad. I guess I'm not interested in any cheese that has a body part in the name. While slightly better than head cheese, your cheese is disgusting. It doesn't even taste like cheese. I think the plastic that you individually wrap the slices in is tastier. You say in your commercials there is some part of a glass of milk in every slice. Is it the glass? Okay, here's the real reason you have to stop. Your so-called cheese is unpatriotic. Really? This is the cheese America gets? This great country that gave birth to the telephone, the car, and Jesus gets your so-called American cheese? It seems like every country contributed some important cheese. Even England, which almost prides itself on their nasty, bland food, has Stilton blue cheese and cheddar. Yet all America comes up with is a shiny, gelled, orange grease square. In summation, your American cheese is tasteless, fake, and anti-American. If you can't stop making it, is it too much to ask you to change the name to Al-Qaeda cheese? Or I can believe it's not cheese. Cheese. Kraft, I hope this letter will not stop you from coming to one of my or all of my theater shows. Your friend, Jim Gaffigan.
That's Jim Gaffigan reading from his upcoming book, Food, A Love Story. Coming up on Wits, performer Reggie Watts tells us about a beaver who is no good at building dams. Tom Waits sells bubbled gum and music from singer-songwriter Tao Nguyen. Wits is thrilled to be part of the Infinite Guest Podcast Network, which also includes shows like The Dinner Party Download, The Splendid Table, and new podcasts like Secret Skin with Wits friend Open Mike Eagle. There's also a sports podcast called Home Dunk, hosted by me. You can find them all at infiniteguest.org. Thank you. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with comedian, author, and actor Jim Gaffigan and Reggie Watts, a comedian, musician, and actor. Here to play music for us this week, singer, songwriter, so glad she's here with us, Tao Nguyen. Tao grew up in Virginia and started playing guitar in her mom's laundromat at 12 years old. She's a friend of our show. Last time she was on Wits, Tao told us all about her twin loves of Motown, especially Smokey Robinson, and old-time Appalachian music. Her most recent album, We the Common, is full of songs that pay tribute to those influences. Here's Tao Nguyen. With John Munson, Ehsan Karimi, and Johanna Kunyon. Well, let's find out a little bit more about Tao Nguyen in a segment that we call I Know This Much Is True. We've asked Tao to give us some thought and tell us what her, in her experiences, have turned out to be true. Fill us with your wisdom. Tao Nguyen, what's true?
The most unpleasant way to wake up is with crumbs of chocolate cake falling on your face.
How did that happen?
In early days of touring, you have no money ever, and you will sleep wherever anybody lets you. And sometimes it's the promoter who's 20, but you're most likely in your early 20s too, so you have less standards. And that you sleep anywhere, there's space, and in this case it was under a kitchen table because there's a huge beer pyramid that was taking up the rest of the room. And so we slept under the table, but unfortunately there's an open carton of chocolate cake right above, hanging over the ledge, and it did cascade upon me.
Do you find, I mean, you've been touring for a while now, you've been a working musician for a while now, does that make it easier to adapt to situations, to fall asleep wherever you need to fall asleep? Are you tougher from and more flexible from being on the road like that?
Oh, certainly. I think I have a stronger immune system. I think my tolerance for everything is sometimes unfortunately strong. High.
So, touring makes you stronger. I think we can conclude that's true as well. Tao Nguyen, everybody. The website WikiHow features thousands of articles about how to perform tasks, all written by ordinary people online. Now, many of these articles are helpful. How to change your oil, how to become a U.S. citizen. Some, not as helpful. Periodically, we present selections from the latter group as choral readings. This is WikiHow Theater.
Wiki, how'd you do it? Wiki, who? I didn't do it well. WikiHow Theater.
These are all taken verbatim from wikihow.com.
How to establish a hotel? Find it hard to run a single business? Are you prepared to manage a hotel? Follow these interactions to establish a hotel of your own. First, firmly decide on how you want your hotel to be like.
Decide what to name your hotel. No matter how the hotel has a good performance and classification, have the best guest in the hotel.
Include facilities like spa services, salon, restaurant, and many other choices. You may also have a sales staff into the hotel.
Buy valet parking. It can be up to 8,000 cars in that hotel.
Furnish your hotel rooms. You can have room numbers ranging from 80 to 180 or higher.
Use banquet facilities. Range your banquet good from 500 to 1,000 persons.
Give the hotel a star rating.
Make the grand opening. It may be sure that when you complete the hotel, guests can check in or out.
Tips. Having to manage a hotel is easy to earn your money.
Be sure your hotel name is part of a hotel chain in the United States.
It is better to have at least 180 rooms in a hotel.
Warnings. A hotel explosion can close your hotel.
In case of earthquake or tsunami, shut down hotel operation.
Hotels are very important. Most people stay for overnight or a few hours.
And that's how to establish a hotel.
WikiHow Theater.
That was informative.
It was nice. I didn't know that you could have up to 180 rooms.
Or more.
He's a comedian, an actor, a musician. I think he does everything. He's probably a veterinarian and a phlebotomist and a lumberjack. He's one of the stars of Comedy Bang Bang on IFC. Reggie Watts, welcome back to Wits.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Now, Reggie, you brought some of your musical equipment with you here, and we're going to get a little sampling of that. And I always have the hardest time describing what you do in terms of music to people. I just mumble like he's
got some machines and things, and then he does it. Like, how would you describe it?
Well, I would say I have some machines, and I run a microphone through it. I talk into them, and the machines repeat back what I've said, and then I have a conversation with previous versions of myself over and over again.
So the sounds that we hear are like a looping kind of Reggie voice?
Yeah, yeah. Essentially, these machines are like tape recorders that just keep going around and around. And I can add to it, or I can, in some cases, take away from it or add effects or whatever. It's like pottery.
No, it's not. Well, now, so I just want to make sure it's clear for everybody.
Sure.
Like, I want to make sure, like, your grandfather could understand it over
totally.
The radio. So, like, actually, let's make sure that happens. Jim, will you play Reggie's grandfather? And, Reggie, you explain to your grandfather over
how,
the phone.
How old do I look?
Well, you're an accomplished actor. I'm asking you to roll with it. And then get Reggie to explain clearly, verbally, exactly what it is that he's about to do for us here this week.
Okay, so he's calling me? Or all right, yeah.
And there he goes.
All right. I'm coming! Hello?
Oh, hey, Grandpa, what's up?
What?
Hello, Grandpa, what's up?
Ah, who is this?
Come on, this is Brian. No, just kidding, this is Reggie.
Reggie who?
Your grandson.
Oh, yes, how are you?
I'm really good.
Good, good.
Thank you.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
I gotta flush the toilet.
Yep.
All right, Brian, I'm back.
No, it's... Grandpa was joking. It's Reggie.
Oh. I can't remember why I called you.
You said you had a question about something.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to explain what you do with the box thing to someone in my bocce ball team.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I have fun, and I put a lot of, I record stuff live, kind of loop it and add stuff to it. It's like pottery.
That was a lovely performance.
That's
Jim Gaffigan as Reggie Watts' grandfather. Now, Reggie, you are a gifted improviser, gifted song maker, but just how gifted are you? We're going to find out. In something we call the Wits Instant Song Challenge. Jim and I will present you with a situation or a problem. You solve that problem by making up a song with zero time to prepare. Are you ready? It doesn't matter because we're going to do it anyway.
Okay.
All right. Here's the first scenario. Reggie, you find out your girlfriend wants to go to clown school. You want to support her, but at the same time, you're really scared of clowns. Advise her in song.
I know that you wanna be a clown today. I know that you wanna study the clown way. And if you get a clown moment, won't you know that there's too many people riding around in that thing that you call a car? Don't ever do it. It's not worth it. People are scared of you, but most of all, scared, but that people is me.
That's solid
That's
work.
That's yeah. Very good. Reggie, I've got one for you. What if you had a friend that was coming out with a book that was called Food of Love Story, and he was trying to get people to go to his website, and his website happened to be jimgaffigan.com? You yeah. said you could improvise anything, Reggie.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, let's try it out.
Food
If you want to learn an alternate view of what is food, I would highly recommend that you go over to a place on the World Wide Web. If you happen to know the name of one of my favorite comedians, check out www.jimgaffigan.com and check out his book, or else you will die.
That's Jim. I think that's broadcast ready.
That's pretty good. I've never seen that voice show, but I wish I had a red button.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. All right, next challenge for you, Reggie. Oh, yeah. Reggie, you have a friend who is a beaver. He loves building dams, but he's really bad at it. Please break the news to him in song.
Hey, Mr. Beaver, I think I really believe you when you say earnestly that you want to do real good with the dam, yes. Genetically, your predisposition is to know somehow a way to chop down trees in a way that's easy for you to carry out to the river and stack it up on top of some mud, other structures that help you formulate something that we identify as a dam. But hey, you're not good. You try so hard, but the water keeps on falling through the benches. Maybe you're just better as a thing that's furry with big buck teeth. Maybe you're just someone who chops down the trees and other people just build the dam. They can design it, but if you get a little chance to learn from the pros, just because you're not proficient in that means that you might have some other valuable skills and you might progress the species.
Reggie Watts, ladies and gentlemen. Reggie Watts, passing the test with flying colors.
Bubblegum, who wants bubblegum? We all do, we all want bubblegum.
Thank you, Tori Amos.
I'm not Tori.
And good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm singer, songwriter, and menacing chimney sweep Tom Waits. And I have a proposition for you. And by proposition, I mean bubblegum. I have some bubblegum for you.
Now, Thomas. Don't you give them the bubblegum. You must collect fair recompense for it. We are shopkeepers now.
Right you are, Mr. President. Folks, allow me to introduce my best friend and business partner, the 21st President of the United States, Chester Alan Arthur.
I died of cerebral hemorrhage in 1886. But from the crypt, I heard the call to provide top-quality bubbled gum to the United States American citizens. So I arose, denuded of flesh. I clawed to the surface. After a period of roaming the earth, I finally found Mr. Waits on the waterfront.
I was buying a donkey that I liked.
We opened our shop out on the old highway, past the Jiffy Cheese.
Get your jaws ready for fun. Plenty of parking available.
And we hired Linda Ronstadt to do our music.
I'm not...
We've got bubblegum flavors like whiskey, wet cigarettes, and tears of an old showgirl.
And my favorite flavor, mutton chops. The cut of meat, that is, not my sideburns.
I like the ancient, vegetation flavor.
Stegosaurus! This is our third business partner, Mr. Stegosaurus.
I've been hiding out in the woods for the last 150 million years, waiting for the right time to come out. And when I heard about this bubblegum shop with Tom Waits and Chester Arthur...
Out on the old highway, past the Jiffy Cheese.
In the middle of a field where they used to bury witches.
I had to join in the fun. I can talk, and I'm immortal. It's kind of a hell. I will watch everyone I love die, but I am crazy about bubblegum, so that helps me to not be sad.
A little, not much.
Wait, Arthur and Stegosaurus Bubblegum Emporium. Look, folks, the three of us know a lot more about music, decaying in the ground, and using the large plates on our back to regulate body temperatures than selling gum, and as a result, our sales are not going well.
It's true. I'm horrifying to look at. A ghoul skeleton in a tattered suit. But just think how great it would be to buy a bubbled gum from the man who modernized the Navy.
We've had no customers. I kind of thought I would be a bigger deal. I'm Stegosaurus.
Don't find it troublesome to buy you some bubble gum.
That sounds great, Juice Newton.
And if you can't make it here, we'll gladly deliver to your dreams.
We will be in your bedroom, your bed, your brain. There is no escaping.
I've always been and will always be, just like bubble gum itself.
Tell him, Tony Tennille.
Wait, Arthur and Stegosaurus Bubblegum Emporium!
Reggie Watts as Chester Arthur, Jim Gaffigan as Mr. Stegosaurus, Tao Nguyen with music, me as Tom Waits. Here with more music, Tao Nguyen. With John Munson, Ehsan Karimi, and Johanna Kunyon. Coming up, more with singer-songwriter Tao Nguyen, comedian and musician Reggie Watts, and comedian and author Jim Gaffigan. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with comedian and author Jim Gaffigan, singer-songwriter Tao Nguyen, and here's comedian, actor, musician, one-man band, Reggie Watts.
This one goes out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Reggie Watts.
Wiki, how'd you do it? Wiki, who I didn't do it well. Wiki, how? Theater.
How to get your mom and dad to like you.
Sometimes you may feel like your parents don't like you. While that's probably not the case, some steps can help improve your relationship with them.
Think about your perspective. Chances are, your parents actually like you. They're providing you shelter, food, water, clothes, shoes, and health.
They may have been through something rough, like divorce or losing a lot of money. Somewhere in their hearts, they have a special place for you.
Be nice to your parents. They may get suspicious, but tell them that that is the new me. Don't be nice for too long, or things might end up the wrong way.
Talk to your parents. Set up a nice little snack for your parents and you. Sit your mom slash dad down at a table calmly. Tell them please not to interrupt while you're talking. Say to your parents you've been feeling like they dislike you, not hate. They may yell at you, calm them down, and tell them what you have been thinking about. They may apologize or even cry. Say to them, I love you and hope you love me. Just walk away like nothing happened. Without them saying a word.
Tips. Be confident. Don't cry or get angry.
Warnings. Some parents might not care.
Some parents may get really angry.
And that's how to get your mom and dad to like you.
WikiHow Theater.
And now, the Wits Lightning Round. Small questions, short answers, profound wisdom. Reggie Watts, why did Water get kicked out of the band Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Because he didn't know what to do.
Tao Nguyen, David Lee Roth, or Sammy Hagar?
Sammy Hagar.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of white trash in this audience. Let me speak to you, my brothers. I have the same background. Settle down.
Reggie, Sammy Hagar or Hagar the Horrible from the comics page?
Hagar the Horrible.
Jim, Sammy Hagar, Hagar the Horrible, or Hagar Slacks?
Things I don't like.
Reggie, if you played a James Bond villain, what would be the character's name?
Dr. Kragangchalach.
Jim, if you played James Bond, what would the movie be called?
Mr. Sexy.
Tao, first concert you ever went to?
Semisonic.
Reggie, same question. First concert you ever went to?
Fugazi.
Jim, what fate befell the original?
You're not even going to ask me?
I'm not.
Look, that guy, what's the first fast food place you went in, Jim? I just want everyone to know the first concert I went to was Rush, all right?
Nice. I think
there is a lot of white trash out there.
Jim, what fate befell the original spouses on the Brady Bunch? What became of them?
Wow, look at all these $8 words.
I know.
What happened to the first people they was married to, you mean? They were murdered.
Oh.
By Alice.
And that's the Wits Lightning Round. Here with more music, Tao Nguyen.
From the age of ice, I supposed I would survive. I remember you with a feeling or two, free of haze without device. The stone I invented to coat my hands and face. I was made of machine and gasoline, filled up full on just a taste. To find imagination.
and sound technology to let loose the cold amnesia over all the blood that beats.
That's Tao Nguyen along with John Munson, Ehsan Karimi, and Johanna Kunyon. Want more wits in your life? Go to witsradio.org and find out how you can see a wits show in person. Sign up for our newsletter, get the latest about what our various wits guests are up to, or tell us what you're up to on Twitter. Just tag us, we're at wits. Thanks to our guests this week, comedian and author Jim Gaffigan, comedian and musician Reggie Watts, and singer-songwriter Tao Nguyen. Thanks also to our technical director, Corey Schreppel, our coordinating producer, Hans Buto, stage manager, Eric Stromstead, Ali Lozoff, and Andrew Witt and the staff at the Aladdin Theater in Portland, Oregon. Wits is written by me and Ben Acker, Wendy Molyneux and Jeff Drake, and Mike Fotis. We're joined this week by our music director, John Munson, and musicians Ehsan Karimi on drums and Johanna Kunin on keys and vocals. Our executive producer is Peter Clowney. Our senior producer is Larissa Anderson. I'm John Moe. Bye now.